So, of course, in chapter 1, he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Then in chapters 3 and so forth, his three friends began to basically blame him for his suffering, accuse him and his children of being deserving of the suffering. And Job has given his answers along the way. In chapter 13, he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Chapter 19, he said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." And then the very well-known verse, Job 23:10, "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." 23:12, "I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." And then last week here in the beginning of the chapter, he talked about how important it is that we make a covenant with our eyes. And so Job understood way back then the connection between what we see and our thoughts and our hearts. And he will finish tonight here in chapter 31 his discourse. So far, his three friends have failed to give him any good advice. But then a fourth friend who's been sitting there quietly all this time, the youngest, will speak up now in chapters 32 all the way through chapter 37. So he's going to talk for a very long time. And then, rather than Job answering him, God will answer directly. And we'll see that as we get toward the end of the book. But tonight, Job finishes his answer to his three friends, and he finishes by reminding them that God knows everything, God sees everything, and that God wants us to live for him rather than live for sin, as we talked about this morning. Remember last week, verse 1, he said, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" So we see the connection there between what we see and what we think. And we looked at that in Scripture. In verse 4, he said, "Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps?" God knows everything. And then he begins to explain the different areas where we need to be careful that we are not sinning against our God. Remember, Job didn't have the written word of God when he spoke these words. All he had was his own faith in the Lord and what had been passed down from Adam and others. But he had a great faith in the Lord and a great knowledge of the ways of the Lord. And we're gleaning from that. So let's pray and dive into this chapter. Lord, I pray for your wisdom and for your guidance and for your power. And Lord, that we would learn tonight and we would grow. And that you would be glorified as we look into your word this evening. We are so grateful for your kindness. Have your will away in every heart. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, verse 4, God knows everything. This is important for Christians, isn't it? There are no secrets with God. God says in Psalm 90, verse 8, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." There are no secret sins with God. And yet the devil would want us to try to hide our sin from God. We see it starting in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve tried to hide from God after they had failed God and sinned. You can't hide from God. You know, the Bible says you've sinned against the Lord and be sure your sin will find you out in Numbers 32:23. So Job again is reminding us God sees everything. God knows our ways. And then he begins to expound on in this chapter of the different areas where we can fail the Lord and things we need to watch out for because the devil's very crafty. So the first one in verse 1 is lust. The second one, verse 5, he said, "If I've walked with vanity or if my foot hath hasted to deceit." Vanity is a sin. And vanity can lead us down some very dangerous paths as God's children. And so that's another area that God sees and we need to be careful of. Verse 5 as well, deceit. Proverbs has so much to say about our tongue, doesn't it? And how we must always be honest and never be deceitful in the things that we say or do. Then in verse 7, "If my step hath turned out of the way and mine heart walked after mine eyes." Now here I believe he's talking mostly about covetousness, something that Jesus warned us about. He says, "Beware of covetousness." And the Bible refers in Colossians to covetousness as idolatry. You know, we often think of idolatry as being an idol on a shelf. But according to God, coveting is idolatry. another thing we need to be aware of. Verse 13, if I did despise the cause of my manservant or my maidservant when they contended with me. So here he's reminding us that unforgiveness is a sin. Another way that we can disobey the Lord is when we refuse to forgive, which, by the way, unforgiveness is bitterness, or turns into bitterness. And then in verse 14, what shall then I do when God riseth up and when he visiteth? What shall I answer him? Verse 24, if I have made gold my hope, or have said to fine gold, thou art my confidence. You read these verses like they were written today. And this book was written over 3,000 years ago. If I've made gold my confidence, isn't that what most people do? They trust in that paycheck every week rather than in the Lord. And then when the paycheck isn't there, they panic. We as Christians, we're not to trust the gold. God will provide it, but we're to trust him. And that Job was a wealthy man before all of this happened. He said, I've done my best to not trust gold, but to trust the Lord. And though like he said in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Verse 27, and my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand. In other words, pride. Pride is very dangerous. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 16, 5, he that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. God hates pride. We're told that in Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 28, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I have denied the God that is above. Say, oh, I would never deny the Lord. But Jesus said that we're to tell others about him. And he says if we deny him, he will deny us. When the Holy Spirit says to speak up and tell people about Jesus, we need to do it. And not deny the Lord. Take those opportunities. Verse 29, if I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me. We talked about this at family camp. Our enemies. And we all have people that have hurt or wronged us. We can't change our hearts or our feelings, but we can decide how we're going to treat them. And we can treat them with kindness and love. To do the opposite, to rejoice when they fall, is a sin. And Solomon told us the same in the book of Proverbs. Verse 33, if I've covered my transgression as Adam. Isn't it interesting that Job, the oldest book in the Bible, the character Job mentions Adam? I think that's exciting because it shows us that Adam is not just a story. Amen. Adam was a real person. God created Adam and Eve, despite what the world wants you to believe and liberal Christians. Yes, it's exactly how God said it is. God created us and he created Adam and Eve and started humanity about 6,000 years ago. Everything else is just fake science. But the fact that he refers to Adam and says that it covered my transgression, it's the very way they responded to their failing God, isn't it? Is what did they do? But they sewed fig leaves together and then they tried to hide from God. And then they tried to blame it on everyone else. Adam said, oh, it's the woman. And Eve said, oh, it's the serpent. Neither were willing to take responsibility for their sins. But I think Job is summing this up for us here in verse 33 by saying we can't hide our sins. We must confess them. We must admit to God when we are wrong. And by the way, that is an Old Testament and a New Testament concept. And I'd like to show you some scriptures on that. So go to Leviticus chapter 5, if you would, in verse 4. So even in the Old Testament, it was God's will that we not cover our sins, but that we bring them to the Lord. We are going to make mistakes, unfortunately, and when we do, the answer is not to respond like Adam and Eve responded, by either trying to hide it, cover it, or blame someone else. All of those are wrong responses to sin. Notice Leviticus 5, verse 4. If a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips, to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. It shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. So even in the Old Testament, if you found out about a sin in your own life that maybe you didn't understand or didn't know or realize, and then once it was made known, what did God say you should do, verse 5, but confess it? Now, in the Old Testament, they had to go further, and they had to take an animal, and it had to die because of your sin. You had to take it to the temple and have it killed on your behalf. But we don't have to do that, hallelujah, because our lamb has been slain, and his blood has been shed. Now go to Psalm 66:18, and I just want us to get a hold of this wonderful truth that Job is revealing to us here in chapter 31, that we cannot cover our sins. And they can come in many different forms: lust, vanity, deceit, covetousness, unforgiveness, trusting money and pride and denying the Lord and rejoicing when our enemy falls, and the list goes on and on. Notice Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If we don't deal with the sin, it will hinder our prayer life. That's what he's telling us. So we must confess it. Notice Proverbs 28:13 now. This Old Testament and New Testament truth that when we sin, deal with it right away. And Job is trying to teach his friends, but they aren't listening. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And that, of course, would be the Old Testament equivalent of 1 John 1:9, which most of us know, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I think it's quite special that of all the things Job has had to say, and many of them have been quite beautiful and powerful, Job finishes by reminding us that we cannot hide our sin from the Lord, that we must confess it. So Job is not saying I'm perfect or I've not made any mistakes, but he is saying that he understands how it's supposed to work with the Lord. And he said, if, verse 33, if I cover my transgressions, in other words, I haven't. As I have sinned, I have brought them to the Lord. As I've made mistakes, I've confessed to them. And he even lists these specific areas where we can all sin. And he says, I've brought them to God. And he finishes, let's finish the chapter up. Verse 34, did I fear a great multitude, or did the contempt of families terrify me, that I kept silence and went not out of the door? Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, and that mine adversary had written a book. Surely I would take it upon my shoulder and bind it as a crown to me. I would declare unto him the number of my steps. As a prince would I go near unto him, if my land cry against me, or that the furrows likewise thereof complain, if I have eaten the fruits thereof without money, or have caused the owners thereof to lose their life. Let thistles grow instead of wheat, and cockle instead of barley. The words of Job are ended. He said, I've said my piece. I don't understand why God is bringing this suffering to my life, but I'm not going to stop trusting him, and I'm not going to blame him. I'm just going to wait on him. And if he chooses to slay me, I'll keep trusting. I know that he has a purpose, because I'm going to come forth as gold in the end, either here or there in heaven. I know I'm going to see him again someday. And his words are more important to me than anything else. And the last thing I would do, he says, is to hide sin in my own heart. I'm going to bring it to God. And we all need to live this principle. One of the most important principles of Christian life is keeping short accounts with God. And of all people, Job is teaching us about it. Keep short accounts. Let's look at 1 John 1:9. I know I quoted it, but let's just look at it with our eyes. You should memorize it. It's a fantastic truth. We'll start at verse 8, 1 John 1. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So things haven't changed much since the Garden of Eden, have they? If we say that we have no sin, in other words, if we say, oh, I'm good, I didn't sin today. We all know that's a lie. God says it's a lie. Instead, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not, and if any man sin... So notice, it's the same as the words of Jesus is saying, yes, our desire, our goal should be to sin not. And I'm writing these words, John says, so that you can live for God and do right as much as possible. He says, that's my desire. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We have an advocate, we have an intercessor, a go-between, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the propitiation or the satisfaction of God's righteousness. Through what He did on Calvary, He paid the price for our sin and became sin. And now, every time we come to God, 1 John 1:9, and confess, we know that He'll forgive because He is faithful. And Job had understood that and was living it. And you'll see it even more when we get to the end of the book. And Job and the others are challenged by God Himself. And Job actually repents. And then God blesses him. So if we can learn anything tonight from Job, it's this great truth. God sees everything. God knows. And one of the most foolish lies we could ever listen to from the devil is, you got away with it, God doesn't know, hide it from the Lord. The devil tries that, doesn't he? Don't listen to him. God knows, it's hindering your prayers, confess it. Keep those short accounts. What a great lesson. It says, if I've covered my transgressions as Adam, He sees all my ways, and I'm going to confess it. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank